Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Now, there are businesses that are born from market gaps. Then you find businesses that are born from prayer. Tonight, we are speaking to a woman who didn't just start a brand. She responded to a calling. She is the founder of Kept by CJ, a Christian lifestyle brand that merges faith, elegance, aromatherapy, apparel, jewelry, personalized Bibles, and home experiences. But more than that, she has built something deeply intentional, a business that carries scripture into everyday life. Imagine walking into your home and the room spray on your table doesn't just freshen the air, but whispers John 3:16 over your space. Ooh! Imagine wearing jewelry that isn't just aesthetic, but anchored in identity. Imagine commerce that feels like ministry. That's what we're doing today. That's the conversation we're having today. Takalo Gadimeng believes business can be worship. She believes excellence glorifies God. She believes luxury and faith are not opposites. They can coexist beautifully. So, Takalo, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nompumelelo. That was such a beautiful introduction.
You're welcome. You know, tonight, I don't just want us to talk entrepreneurship, okay? Mm-hmm. I want us to talk obedience, identity, and building something that heaven recognizes. Are you cool with that?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, let's start at the very beginning. Before Caps by CJ was a brand, it was a whisper. I'm so curious to know what was happening in your life spiritually and emotionally when the idea was first conceived.
So just to give you a little bit of a background about myself.
Yeah.
I am a young Black woman from a rural area in Limpopo. Mm. And I was so very fortunate that growing up, I loved reading. Mm-hmm. And at one time, I was reading a Rhapsody book. Mm. And at the end of this book, there was a salvation prayer. Mm. Now, imagine you're reading something, but you actually don't understand what it is all about.
Yeah.
So I read the salvation prayer, and my mom said to me, "Do you realize that you just got born again?" And I said, "I had no idea what you're talking about." But even in that confused moment, I believe that, okay, now I am living with God. Now God is in my heart. Mm. And from there, just started going to church and everything.
Yeah.
From that small, what everyone can see as a mistake, came out obedience and came out a commitment to the Lord to say, I actually want to pursue this relationship with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know why, but if you grew up in the same setup as us, you know, we grew up watching Generations and Mzungu.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up seeing Mom Configuration and Mom Sidilatu as this business mogul's woman. And I was like, this looks very cool. Mm-hmm. I want to be like this growing up. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that was just a child mindset, if one could look at it in that way. Mm. And growing up, I just grew more and more interested in the business world.
Yeah.
And thank God he actually said something about it. In 2018, I was at a conference at church, and I remember the sermon very well. It was Pastor Tudor, Bishop Tudor Bismarck, and he was talking about how God keeps us in his grace, that he keeps us under the shadow of his wing. Okay. And from there, I just started saying, I am captured by Christ Jesus, which is the name of the business.
Yeah.
So kept by CJ came from that, came from the scripture that says, remain in me and I will remain in you. And when you are in me, you bear fruits, you know. And I was like, I actually want to remain in you. I want to be the branch in this vine that is so beautiful, that is so selfless, So Tapped by CJ came out of that. And the idea is just to have one store where God's word is preached unfiltered and at its full truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's so beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. I remember because we're in the same entrepreneurship community, right? When I first saw you write a message or send a message, I was like, ChatGPT. You mean ChatGPT is in the house? And it took me a while to actually realize, no, this is capped by CJ, and the story behind it just makes it even more beautiful. That is so good. So was there a moment? And okay, so now I'm curious. So you get this name. What says then start a business? What is run me through the process and the time between here is a name and you decide this will be a brand name, and not just a brand name, but a business brand name.
Okay. So going back to like sharing up about the interest in business and wanting to be this business person and everything. When I received the word, it was a moment to say, okay, firstly, I want to do something to share the word of God, even though it is not from the pulpit in the church. But I'd love to have something that way, someone can boldly share their faith. Now, I remember there's a brand, an American brand called Trust God Bro. They do apparel and everything. And I saw it and I realized that actually, in the same breath, at that time, I was studying marketing and public relations. And there was a chapter in our module, one of our modules, they were saying that you are actually a salesperson wherever you are going, whatever you are wearing, you are a salesperson. And I realized that instead of walking around with a brand that I am marketing for someone else or I am growing someone else's identity, how about I actually wear something that speaks to who I am? And the clothing now came out of it because the first thing I launched when we started Capped, it was the apparel. So the business came to incorporate ministry into this name to say, okay, how do I then tell other people that you can be kept in the presence of God? You can be a young person who can stand faithfully in your faith. And boldly as well. So the business came in, and I realized that actually there is more that we can do more than just the apparel.
Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely love that. And who was your target audience at first? Who are the people you were selling to? Because as I'm hearing the story, I'm hearing young people, but maybe even students. But who, when you sat down and actually then started the business, because we all know it starts with identifying that ideal customer profile, right? So that client. So who was yours?
Mine were students. And the reason why it was students, it was because of also a personal journey or a personal testimony from that. Because I realized that you grow up in church and young as you are shielded in your parents' home, you're not exposed to the world and the cruelty or the reality of the world.
That's so true. I resonate so deeply with that.
Now you grow up and you're thinking, I am good with God. I am perfect. I'm in a perfect standing with God. I stand up for my faith. But now you get into this big entity called varsity and life of faith. You get there and you're exposed to all these other different choices. Now you have to make a choice in that position to say, do I continue to being honest and faithful to who I am, or do I fall into this trend of, my friends doing whatever? So mine was, I would love for students to actually have the same boldness to say, you know what, I am actually going to stand in what I was raised in, and I would love to stand in what I believe in. Yes.
Now, someone who is seasoned in business, maybe let me not say seasoned, but someone who's got some information or some knowledge of business will say, students don't have money. That's a bad market. Oh my goodness. So when the logic said this may not work, what was faith telling you? Was it telling you to build anyway? And why? What was the promise on the other side? What conversations were you having with God when, in the face of logic, it is students are broke, the money they have is for food and nothing else. Why do you want to sell to them? So talk to me about that.
In that point, logic and reality said it doesn't make sense. And when you look at the time that I actually registered the business, it was fresh out of the COVID lockdown.
Yo,
So in that area or in that moment in my life, nothing made any sense. But at the same time, I remembered when God was speaking to Abraham and was commanding him to leave his land to a foreign land where he did not have any plan. But because of faith, he was then rewarded as a father of nations and was the wealthiest man on earth. And when that was happening, the conversation with God was, Lord, I know that you will not lead me where you won't sustain me. So I went in, head first, feet later. And I remember my first t-shirt ever. It was just one t-shirt that I made from my own pocket. And I wore it to a church conference crossover, stepping into the year 2023 now. And because I registered the business and then doubt kicked in, you know how the devil
Yeah, of
works. He will
course.
preach to you. Yes, he will preach to you that, yeah, no, you didn't think this through, and there's no clients, and. So during that December, I took a step of faith and I made one t-shirt. And I went to church with it. And I came back from church with 10 orders.
There's no way.
I will never forget the quantity. I came back from church with 10 orders from one simple step of obedience. And the other thing that I saw in the situation is that God will show you the first step, but he won't show you 5 steps later what's going to happen. All you have to do is trust that first step, take it. Trust him that whatever is beyond that first step is beyond what you could ever imagine. Now, people have the idea that students don't have money, but the Bible also tells us that where your treasures are, there your heart will also be, right? We have a lot of students that are so hungry at this point in time and so thirsty for the revival of God and the move of God that they will come head in first to say, I want a t-shirt that I can wear to campus. I want a t-shirt that I can wear going to buy groceries. I have this much allowance. Can you make me a cap? Then just walk around with it to share the gospel of God.
Oh,
Yes,
that's so
so that was
beautiful.
faith in that time. Yes.
And I love talking to purpose-driven, ministry-based entrepreneurs. And the reason for this is that, one, it's always been taboo in the church, especially in traditional churches, to combine the idea of profit and faith. Right? I mean, we hear it in things like if you're inviting a guest speaker or a pastor from some whatever church and they ask for a little bit of a stipend, it's like, no, you must do this for free. This is the Lord's work, or maybe even a musician or anything like that. There's always a tussle between faith and profit. You cannot be a Christian and want to make money from it. There's always that discussion and always that battle. Now I'm curious about, because I know this is a business for you. I know at the end of the day you make a profit for it from it, right? It's not a, oh guys, I'll charge you at cost. If it costs me 2 rand, then you'll pay 2 rand. No, there's a strategy behind this. There's a business mindset behind this. Talk to me about how you've had to take yourself out of this battle and what you had to know and realize for you to be able to be in ministry, but also understand ministry as a marketplace.
That is actually an awesome question because we struggle so much with the guilt of making profit out of ministry. But in that sense, I am very fortunate to be under a leadership that encourages us to read the word for ourselves. In the Bible, there's a verse, I now forgot where it is from, where God says, "I will bless the works of your hands." Now, when God is saying that He will bless me, He will bless the works of my hands, the blessing part, it means that whatever the works of my hands is, I need to be able to sustain myself with the works of my hands. In Proverbs 31, everyone is looking at this woman that wakes up in the morning to take care of his family, but they're forgetting to read the few chapters, verses before that says that she was selling clothing to make sure that his house ate.
She was
That's my saying.
enterprising.
It was enterprising. Now, if this woman whose beauty and her patience is such a virtue, if she herself, she could be an entrepreneur, why can't I? Why can't I profit from the same gift that God said he will bless the works of my hands? You know, if the same woman in Proverbs 31 could maintain her household through entrepreneurship, if the disciples could be businessmen, if Jesus could be a carpenter, he wasn't doing it for free. So why can't I? And the other thing is, people, or also just not people, Christians as well, need to realize that the kingdom needs to be funded one way or the other, right? We need to be able to send people to missionaries. We need to be able to keep the lights on in the church. Now, if we are doing charity work day in and day out, how are we going to fund the work of God? You know, so for me, I see it as, God, you have blessed me with this brain, you have blessed me with this idea, and this idea is not for me. It is to glorify your name, it's to bring glory to your name. And as our church motto will say, it would be populate heaven at all costs. This is preaching to people. Now, if you bless me with this works, there is a portion that goes into the church to continue the mission that you have planted or you have started in your servants that I serve under. So, at first it was there, but then I sat down and I prayed and I read the word, and then I realized that I shouldn't be feeling guilty.
100%. You know, the counsel I normally give to people who are having that tussle, right? Who are in that struggle is, I take it back to the word. And when you read Deuteronomy 25, verse 4, it says, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain," right? And I just want to give some context. So in ancient Israel, the oxen there were used to thresh grain. And how the oxen did that is that they would walk over the grain to separate the kernel from the husk, right? And so the instruction that God gave them, that God gave the Israelites then, is that when the oxen is doing that work, please feed it. Please feed, because muzzling the ox would be closing the mouth, right? Preventing the ox from eating, which would be inhumane and unfair. So then Paul also quotes the same scripture in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9 to 10. He cites the scripture as well as, in fact, he does it twice. He cites it in 1 Timothy 5, verse 18 as well. And his argument here is that ministers and teachers deserve to be supported materially by those that they serve. And the truth is, it's hard for people to just out of their pockets give somebody who's doing ministry work, right? But imagine how useful then a person who is a minister in any way or a teacher actually gives you something of value to you. Yes, the word is valuable. Yes, the message is the message can carry you, but for them to have done work, to have labored, and to give you that work, so that you can also carry it at home. I mean, it's a shirt, it's something you wear every day, it's something that preaches, it's spreading the gospel. That is that, I think that is the context, or that is the idea, that the ox that is doing the work, please don't muzzle it. They deserve to be fed as well. And so I really think ministers in any form ought to be supported. They ought to, they have the right to benefit from the fruits of their labor. And I love that that is what you brought out. And so if anybody asks you again, please refer them to the verse. Do not muzzle an ox while it is threading out the grain, because you, as well as every other person who does a business, deserve to benefit and deserve to eat from the fruits of your labor as well.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is
yeah. I'm now. I want to know about how you moved from a t-shirt and a cap to jewelry and fragrances and candles. Talk to me about the evolution and all these, the product development that then took place after just that one shirt and the 10 orders.
Okay, so with the one t-shirt and the obedience from it, then I went back into my secret place with God. Say, okay, so I see the t-shirts, I see the I see the t-shirts, I see the caps. What is the idea here? Where are we going? Where, what are we actually building? And it was very simple to have a one-stop shop for Christians. So anything and everything that could preach the message, from your household items to what you're wearing to accessories to literally your daily, day-to-day items that you use. So God then revealed that what he wanted to do with Capped by CJ was to have an a one-stop store for Christians to come, feel his presence, be preached, receive his word, soak up in his spirit and his word. And then at I think sometime in 2023, I was unemployed. And in that time, I don't have no idea why or what I was going through, but I had this candle from Jet. And it was running out. You know how they get. It was running out. And I didn't like the scent. Like, I received it as a gift and I did not fully enjoy the scent. So what I did was, I have no idea what I was watching, but something about candles popped up and my heart said yes. So I stood up, I took the candle, melted it, and then put in a bit of cinnamon inside it. And then I was like, okay, this is actually nice. So I went back and I prayed and I said, God, are you trying to say something about aromatherapy here or something? Then I went back to the word of God. And the word of God says that our worship, our praise is like a sweet smelling aroma of the feet of God, you know. So I said, okay. So if a scent in a house, if a scent can be that sweet smelling aroma, why can it be something in the house that will say, okay, this smells amazing, let me look at the brand, let me look at the label and find a word from God? And God was very intentional with the scriptures that he selected for the aromatherapy line, because we have very specific ones. One of them, it is John 3:16, which speaks the heart of God, which speaks the love of God in our lives. And the other one that we have, it's Psalms 4 verse 8. It says that in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O God, give me rest. And most people, they use aromatherapy as something to that helps them to relax, that as something that soothes them. Now, I prayed about it and I was like, God, what is it that you want me to do? And he said that if people can use lavender to do other things, why can't it be used to remind people that you find rest in me? So that's when the aromatherapy came in. And I've always been one person who loves, you know, accessorizing my clothing and everything. And then one time I was like, okay, now I see where you're taking me. There's a jewelry line, and the jewelry line also, because they're all waterproof, all tarnish free. You can have them for a lifetime. The verdict was very simple. Now, going back to the first target market that we wanted, that we were trying to reach as young people, the verse 1 Timothy 4:12 came about. Because it says that don't be ashamed to stand for who you are. Don't let anyone look down on you because you
Because
are
you are
young.
young.
Yes. But be an example to unbelievers in the way that you live, in your love, in your speech, you know. And I realized that a jewelry is something that you can have for years on end. Now, this wasn't for someone else. It wasn't to preach to someone else, but to preach to yourself as the jewelry owner or the person who's wearing the jewelry. Because the t-shirt, when you're walking around, everyone else is John 3:16 behind you know. But sometimes you get to a point in life where, you know, there is condemnation that creeps in. There is guilt and shame that creeps in. You get to a point where now everyone, when you walk around, they're like, ah, the Jesus girl. Now, there's the Jesus girl. Now you have a nickname. Yes. There comes John, you know. Now, this was to remind everyone, to say, listen, shut out the outside voice and remember to set an example to unbelievers in the way that you live.
Oh,
So
so good.
the outbranching now is coming out because we are just following God step by step to say, okay, now we have this, it is established. Now let's go on to the other part so that at the end of the day, we can have this store that has everything that any Christian, whether a fresh out of the world, just saved yesterday Christian will need, or a seasoned Christian who's been there for years and years on earth. They can still come back to that moment of like a first encounter with God. I remember, God, where you took me from, and this is what I have as a daily constant reminder of your love and your grace for me.
So amazing. How has business been? Give me the truth. The beautiful, the ugly, the I'm walking away, Lord, the oh my gosh, I can't believe you favored me. How has business really been? Because what I find is people don't share the truth. And that is why you find people quitting their jobs willy-nilly because they're like, yeah, entrepreneurship means time freedom. I can make as much money as I want. And then they realize, oh, actually, even 20 rand every month was better than 2 rand 1 month, nothing the next month, 300 the next. The instability, the stress, the you have to be everything, but also there is favor that follows obedience. So talk to me about the favor you've seen and the times that have been testing in business.
Business is an emotional roller
It
coaster.
sure is.
Now, the myth or the idea that when you're a business owner, you rest, that is a lie. You do not have any. Yes, you do rest. You do rest. However, you are literally working 24/7, especially when you are a business that is led by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit would wake you up at 2 a.m. with a design in your head, and now you have to fulfill it. Now, business hasn't been easy. It has its days, it has its moments. One thing that I would say to someone who wants to quit their job, 9-to-5 job, to fully get into business is pray. Pray, pray, pray. Ask God, even if it's 3 times, to say, God, confirm that you actually want me to leave my 9-to-5 and focus solely on business. After prayer, don't pray and say, okay, God said yes, there's going to be manna from heaven that comes up. Because most Christians, we make that mistake. Pray and prepare. prepare financially to say for the next 6 months, I might not have any income. For the next 6 months, I might have a little bit, and then I might have nothing. The other one is stay faithful. When you are in business, especially a God-centered business, be faithful to the agreement or the covenant that you have with God regarding the business. If the business, you know that you have to fund a church or you have to fund a ministry, be faithful in that. The other thing that you people, t the other mistake that people tend to do is that, especially when you're selling a product, there are months where you will make a lot of money and there are months where you will not make anything at all. What we need as Black people and all young people is financial literacy. Now, we are not taught financial literacy in school, unfortunately, with our system, right? It is something that you learn late in your life. That's if you're even fortunate to discover what it is. Otherwise, you live from mouth to hand, hand to mouth, and so on and so on. Now, when you are in business, you need to not live for now. You need to plan for 2 years ahead. Now, people quit their jobs. They hear from God, and God says, yes, do quit your job. And the idea or the business is sustainable. God can sustain it. They have the resources and the capabilities to fulfill the purpose or the business. However, they fall short in terms of managing finances, and that can be very frustrating. Now, if now today you make 20,000 rand, for an example, and you live for today, tomorrow you make 2 rands, and then it doesn't sustain you. The frustration comes in, and you think that you did not hear God, but you did actually hear God, and God actually did give you something to sustain you for the next 3 weeks, but you splashed it in one day. So the reality of business is that you need to have so much discipline. It is not easy. It is work. It is hard work. You need to put in the hours. You need to, work 10 times as hard as other people. And I don't like the gender roles in business. However, as a female entrepreneur, you need to work 10 times harder than a man. Because unfortunately, we still live in a system or in an era where when a woman is saying something in a male-dominated area or in a male-dominated field, they are not yet taken seriously. So you need to work twice as hard to earn the same respect. So have God at the center of it all, have purpose at the center of it all, and discipline. Have so much discipline that whatever you are doing, you know that you have planned, you have a good plan to fall back on. And if you start something with God, He will sustain you. It's going to be challenging, yes, but God will sustain you. Also, don't leave your work too soon.
Please, please, please apply wisdom. I have a final
Apply.
question for you as we wrap up. If
Yes.
God were to speak over your brand tonight on the show, what do you
Yes.
believe he would say?
This is something, the question is something that I was a Bible verse of the day that I had yesterday. And it was a simple verse. Well done, my faithful. I have good servant, right? And I remember yesterday thinking, if there's one thing that I desire with all my heart, and I think maybe this is something that most Christians was to them, it will sound cliche or very weird, right? Is more than anything, more than the brand, more than me, myself, what I would love God to do is just bring a fresh revival into everything into everyone that encounters the brand. And with that revival, may he give us wisdom so that we can endure to navigate the business world, so that at the end of the day, at the end of our lives, at the end of it all, we can hear him say, "Well done, my faithful, good servant." I think more than anything, more than sales, more than anything, it's just to have the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, never moving away from the brand.
Oh, so good.
That is my deepest desire.
Takaro Ngadimeng. Tonight, you really reminded us that entrepreneurship is not just about supply and demand. What I heard you talk about is surrender and design, you know, speaking of the Holy Spirit waking you up at 2 a.m.
Yes.
But not just about the design of the particular thing, just the design of the system that you need to operate in for this thing that God gave you to move and to work. Because the last thing you want to do is to have a brand that people know has God at the center and represent him, and then you bring his name into disrepute for not being disciplined and for sinking the business. You reminded us that faith does not belong only in churches, okay? It belongs in living rooms, on our wrists, on bookshelves, and definitely in business. You know, it goes without saying that Kept by CJ is a lifestyle brand, but more than anything, I've come to realize that it's also a declaration that Christ is not an accessory. Christ is the foundation. And when the foundation is solid, everything else flows from that. So to our listeners tonight, I just want to say, may you be reminded that whatever you build, please build it with intention, build it with excellence, build it with obedience, and then build it with God. Because we can obey in the first move, and then we leave God right where he met us or where we met him. Because unless he builds the house, we already know they that build it labor in vain. Thank you so much for bringing fragrance and scripture and purpose into the marketplace. Thank you so much for your ministry and for having this conversation with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Nompumelelo. God bless you.
It's a pleasure.
Richly enlarge your territory in everything that you do.
Oh, amazing. I just want to say to everyone who's listening, tomorrow we are speaking to Uthapelo, the OG of Business Sense, and it will be the final conversation that we will ever have on the show with the shapeshifter. And until then, I am Nompumelelo Mbonane, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.